St. Matthew chapter 22.
St. Matthew chapter 22. And while you're turning there, I want to say again how good it is to be in the Lord's house. And good to have everybody here that's here. And thank the Lord for His mercy towards us. Amen. God has been merciful unto us. Amen. I bless the Lord. I bless the Lord for His mercy towards us. And He's God. And He's on His throne. And now listen, I'm tickled to death the way things turned out the other day in our country. But He is God and worthy no matter which direction things go. Do you know that? He is worthy to be trusted, thanked, blessed, praised. You know, it's when things are hard that we need to trust Him most. So, you know, thank God that, again, the Lord is merciful unto us. But we still have to trust Him. To help us, amen, because we're still living in the same world, the wicked world. Things are still waxing worse and worse. Evil seducers are waxing worse and worse. And Satan, he's never going to stop doing what he's doing. Right till the end, amen. But I'm glad that that I'm on the Lord's side. Amen. If you're saved, listen, we have the victory in Christ Jesus. It's already settled. Amen. I already know what the last page says. Amen. Amen. God's already let us know that He is the supreme God, creator, all power in heaven and earth. Is His. Amen. All right. Matthew chapter number 22, verse 34. But when the Pharisees had heard that He had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked Him a question, tempting Him and saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Look at what Jesus said when they asked Him, tempting Him. Of course, again, tempting our Lord. And said, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. I want to preach this morning just for a few minutes on the preeminence of God's love. The preeminence of God's love. And what I mean by preeminence means first place. It comes first. It must be first. Or that it is first. The Bible tells us that in all things, He may have the preeminence in our lives as believers, which means Christ needs to have the first place in your life. He's the one that is in first place. And the Lord answered these scribes and Pharisees. Listen, if you look at this and you see how that he was, they wanted to come and debate him. Just like, you know, the Democrats and the Republicans, and when one side don't get what they want, they're mad. I heard something, listen, I heard something that was staggering. And this is what the world is floating to people. That if you're upset, that's okay. And if you're mad at your family, it's all right to tell them, I don't agree with the way you think, and so I don't want to be around you anymore. Can you imagine that? The world is about division and divide. It's about hate. Are you listening to me? But God tells us that His love comes first. I mean, that's how the world will know that you and I as God's people are different, is because we have love one toward another. Even though we may not always see eye to eye, we still have love toward one another. And the Bible lets us know that God's love, listen, for the child of God is not a debate. You can't even be a child of God, a true child of God, without having the love of God in you. Why? Because the new birth puts the love of God in our heart. If the love of God is not there, if the love of the brethren is not present, if the love for Christ is not there, then you have not been born again. It's the evidence. It is the great evidence. It's not, listen, I'm not trying to be mean when I say this. I'm being honest. It's not speaking in tongues, by the way. There's religious people that'll say, here's how you'll know if you're truly saved and have the Holy Spirit in you. If you speak in tongues, that is not what the Bible says. The Bible makes this very clear that the world will know, here's how you know that you pass from death unto life. Because you have love one toward another. That's what the Bible said. It's about the love of God. Listen, God's love has the preeminence today. It's about His love. Love is first. God's love is first. Now, the world doesn't know what God's love is. People think they know what love is. And people have a very bad misunderstanding of what true love really is. Today, our society thinks lust is love. And lust is not love. Amen? What we're seeing today, I mean, you talk about a man looking in another man's eyes and saying, I really love him. They don't know what love is. Are you listening to me? That is a wicked, burning, ungodly lust. That's what that is. Amen? It's a perverted lust. But it definitely is not love. It's not the love that God gives a husband for a wife. Or a wife for her husband. Amen. A man and a woman. There's a special kind of love. Amen. That God gave naturally. Naturally. Amen. And if it's not between a man and a woman, then it's against nature. Now that's according to God. That's according to God. But I'm not even talking about that kind of love. I'm talking about God's love this morning. God's love is a greater love than humanity knows. I know this beyond a shadow of a doubt because the Bible says so, first of all, and because I have experienced it myself. God's love was something I did not have until I met Jesus. I didn't have this kind of love in me. I didn't know this kind of love. This is apart from man, Brother Jerry Lee, to have this naturally. I mean, we've got a certain type of love, a natural love. Love for our children, love for humanity, love for our wives, and so on. That's natural. And anything apart from that is unnatural and perverted. But God's love is something that must be put in us. It comes with a new nature. It has to come with a godly nature because it is God's love. Are you understanding me? Now, the Lord said this to them when they were, tempting him. Because no doubt they thought they knew what the great commandment was. And by the way, when God gave the commandment in the book of Exodus, he said that God is to be first. But the word love is not in that commandment. That, you know, that God, thou shalt have no other God before me. That's the first one that was written. But you know, you can't keep that commandment if there's not a true love for God. So it's noted in when our Lord said, the first and great commandment is thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. Boy, he expounded on that, didn't he? Amen. Because you can't have just one God and put no other gods before him if you don't truly love him with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. You're going to put something else or someone else before him. That's just in your nature. That's just in your nature. But to truly love the Lord thy God. Notice how he put that. To love the Lord thy God. See, you have to know him personally. To love him this way. To have that preeminent love. That love that makes you, listen, it makes me love God in a way that I don't love my wife. Now I'll pick her over anybody in here any day of the week. She has my first love. She's my wife. I love her with everything that is within me. And I wouldn't have anything to happen to her. I'd stand in front of anything to keep her safe. Are you listening to me? I mean, I'd step out in front of anything. To put her behind, to keep her, and I would do anything to make her life better or to help her in some way. But listen, God's got to be above that. God has to be above that. Because listen, God forbid, but there have been spouses, want to take that first place. And, it began to put another spouse, male or female, in a hard spot with God. That if they went and served God, then it was going to cause trouble between them. Well, listen, that's a bad spot to be in, but God has to be first. If we'll put God first, God will take care of things. Are you listening to me? Amen. The Lord said, love the Lord thy God. Have that relationship. Is he thy God? Do you see him as your creator today? I mean, do you recognize? Listen, it's not Darwin, and you didn't come from monkeys, and it's not evolution. Amen. You believe and know that there's a supreme God in heaven. Amen. And he's the one that created man and everything in the universe and breathed into our nostril the breath of life and gave man a living soul. I believe that. The reason I'm standing on 2 feet and breathing God's air is because he put a soul in me. A living, breathing spirit. Are you listening to me? Oh, yes, that's going to live for eternity. And listen, God's love must be first, must have the preeminence. Here's what Jesus said in John 17 and verse number 25 and 26. He was talking to the Father, and he said, "Oh, righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee." And he's talking about his disciples. He said, "And these have known that thou hast sent me, and I have declared unto them thy name." Listen, "and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me," that's what Jesus is saying to the Father, "the love that thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them." The same love that God has for His Son Jesus would be in us. I'll tell you something, that's a miracle. That's God's divine love. I'm talking about a divine love. It's not a human love, it's a divine love. And it only comes when Christ declares it unto us. He has to be in us. He has to show us His love. He has to reveal the Father's love to us. Amen. How can we know the Father's love? Amen. If the Lord hadn't revealed it to us. This love that God wants you and I to have is an impartial love. Listen, we can't just love some and not love others. Jesus said this. He said, "Even the Pharisees and the hypocrites, they do the same. They love them that love them, but they hate them that hate them back. You hate me, I'll hate you back. You love me, then I'll love you." That's what Jesus said. The Pharisees and the scribes and them does. But listen, the Lord give us a commandment. And He tells us, He begins telling us in Deuteronomy chapter 10, "Love ye therefore the stranger." And I know He's talking to Israel at this time. He said, "Love ye therefore the stranger." He said, "Because you were a stranger in Egypt." And that's similar to you and I that's lost. Listen, we need to love the lost. Why? Because we was once lost. Amen. Amen. We were once in that condition.
Amen.
Amen. I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to tell you a true story. Happened to me yesterday. I was coming, we was leaving the house, going to see Maggie over here for her birthday. And coming out of the house, I come out the end of the road, and pulled up to the stop sign and reached down to grab my phone. Was going to put it on this magnet. Honk! I mean, that fast. So I pulled out. Went down to the turnaround. We've got a turnaround out there where, you know, we have to turn around to come back toward town. Come to the turnaround. Grabbed the phone again. I mean, just half a second. Honk! And I was like, I guess I better get out of this guy's way. So there's a big turnaround. I hurried and scurried around, turned around. When I turned around, I looked over. I was going to try to throw up like a sorry. He threw me up something else. You know what my flesh wanted to do? Flesh wants to follow him. Flesh wants to get to where he's at. But the spiritual man says, if he could stop, you could explain to him you didn't mean to offend him. And you could explain to him you didn't mean to upset him to the point that he got that mad. And then you could tell him about the love of God. Because evidently he needs to hear it if he can throw that up that fast. People are full of envy and hate. Listen, but we're God's people. We're not supposed to be that way.
Right.
We can't be like them. We can't follow in that path. That's the flesh.
Amen.
And that's why the world won't see Christ is if we follow them, hunt them down, pull them over, and bless them out. Amen. They're not going to see Christ in that in our life. No. We must be what God said that we are. We must let the divine love of Christ have preeminence. How many times was Jesus thronged? How many times did they go about to kill him? How many times did they mock him? And how many times have they tried to get to him? They wanted to kill our Lord and Savior. He could have, with one wave of his hand, took the life out of them. But he came to save. He came to seek and to save. Divine love has the preeminence. You have to stop and say, because we do have a flesh. And you have to say, you're not going to have your way. Christ has his way in my life. His love has the preeminence, the first place. First responsibility I have is to love my enemy. Amen? When they said, what's the first great command? Jesus said to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. And he said, and the second is likened unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. He didn't say thy brother. He said, love thy neighbor. That means everybody. Saved, lost, you love everybody. Everybody the way that you love yourself. Amen? The second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples in John 11. If you have love one toward another. Amen. His love is the standard for you and I. Jesus said in John 15, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. My love is the standard. You love me the way I loved you. You love one another the way I've loved you. That's a high standard to go to, ain't it? So how would the Lord have loved that man? How would the Lord have loved that man? Would the Lord have got behind him and hunted him down? His love, his divine love, is preeminent. And his divine love is the standard. Amen. The Bible said, let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Which means, let love be sincere. I can't just stand up. Listen, I could stand up here and tell you a pretty good lie. Oh yeah, yeah. I really love him. And in my heart be just a bubbling over. He said, let love be without dissimulation. Your love's supposed to be sincere. Don't hypocrite love. Love is not hypocritical. True love, divine love. Listen, you can't just show it on the outside and be boiling over on the inside. God knows the kind of love we're carrying. Whether it's true or false, whether we are of a pure heart or not, let love be without dissimulation. Let it be sincere. And if you can't, say you can't. And pray and get God's help. But let it be without dissimulation. Don't say that it's one thing if it ain't, because that's thinking awfully little of God's love. God's love can't change me no more than that, to take a little frustration out of me. If God's love can't take a little frustration out of me, I may be in worse shape than I realize. If it can't do something with hate, I'm going to tell you something. God's love can do something with hate. And it will do something with hate. God's love and hate cannot coexist. It's not going to. One or the other is going to be in the forefront. One or the other is going to have its way. I want to tell you something. Where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. God's love is much stronger than hate. And it is greater. It is greater. The Lord said in Romans 13, "For this thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended," the apostle said, "in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." It's the right kind of love. See, because if you really have this divine love and it has preeminence in your life, you ain't going to commit adultery with your neighbor's wife or husband. You're not going to kill your neighbor. You're not going to steal from your brother. You're not going to bear false witness and lie and covet. Are you listening to me? Or all any of those other things. If your love is right, everything else will be right. So we truly love God with all of our heart. He said all the other commandments hang upon these two. Loving God first, and then loving your neighbor as yourself. Everything else would be took care of. All the thou shalts and thou shalt nots would come very easy. Love must have the preeminence. Love is the foundation of Christianity. God's love, again, not fleshly love, not human love, but God's love, divine love. It's unchangeable. It's the way it has been. Jesus said, just the way God loved Him, God still loves us. The way He loved us the day He created the foundation of the world. Are you listening to me? It hadn't changed. Jesus knew that His hour was come, that He should depart out of this world, the Bible said, unto the Father. And He said, having loved His own that were in the world, He loved them unto the end. Loved them unto the end. Never quit. Even when Peter cussed, loved him. But He denied him. Jesus loved him. What about all the others when they forsake Him and fled? He loved them. And it was unchanging. Unchanging. And it's the same kind of love the guy that enjoyed putting his hand to the cross. Jesus loved him. The one that beat down the crown of thorns upon his brow. Jesus loved him. Amen. He prayed, "Father, forgive them. Yes, sir. They know not what they do." Amen. Christ came to save the world. Amen. That was God's love at its greatest, demonstrated in the death of Christ on the cross. Believe that. He loved you. He said in John 15, "As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." Paul said in Romans 8, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecutions or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Nay, in all these things, we're more than conquerors through Him that loved. Nothing shall separate us from the love of God. Nothing shall separate us from the love of God. Amen. Nothing. The preeminence of love. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13, look what he said. He said, now abideth faith, hope, and charity. Now abideth faith. In other words, this is the things that continue. Faith, hope, charity. But the greatest of these, what do you say, church? Charity. That's the first. That's the greatest. It has the preeminence. The greatest of faith. And listen, faith, hope. Love is more powerful than hope. Love is more powerful than faith. They cannot be truly manifested without love first. You say, you sure about that, preacher? Galatians 5:6, for in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision. What avails? In other words, what is it that causes us to go on, to truly have life, to have hope, to have, here's what he said, faith which worketh by love. Faith which worketh by love. Did you know true faith can't even work without love, like a car can't work without gas? And don't give me some electric car illustration. You know what I'm talking about. A car's got to have some kind of energy. It drives it. It pushes it. Faith which worketh by love. Love is what causes faith to work. Amen? You think Moses stood on that mountain, stretched out his staff, that was just all faith? No, he had first a love for God and then a love for his people. And that's why he could believe that Red Sea was going to depart. Faith which worketh by love. If you let God's love have the preeminence, your faith will grow stronger. Your faith will work. Sometimes we wonder why I don't have enough. Why my faith's not working? Why don't? Well, maybe something's going on in the love department. Too many times we want in God's kingdom, we want the goodies without the God. At least that's the way the world looks at it. The Bible said in Galatians 5, I'm about done, but the fruit of the Spirit is love first. Joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness. Love is first. The fruit of the Spirit is love. It's first manifestation of the Spirit of God. Love. It drives everything. It is the great commandment. It's the one thing God wanted you and I to comprehend in the book of Ephesians, that you may with all the saints be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, the height, and to know the love of Christ. That's the power of His love and the preeminence of His love. The power of His love changes us. The preeminence of His love changes the world. Paul told them when he was telling them about the armor of God in Colossians, he said, above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. The bond. It's the glue that everything else stays together with. It's the bonding agent. Love. You got to have it. You got to put it on first. The preeminence of love. It must be first. It must be naturally first. If it's first, it'll be forever. It'll be forever. That's the kind of love that it is. Little John said in 1 John 4:16, we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. There it is. There it is. We have known and believed the love. Do you believe, truly believe the love God has for you? Amen. Do you know the love God has for you? Amen. See, you believe it, then you experience it, you know it. You may believe it today. You may say, I've heard it my whole life. God loves me, and I believe that, preacher. But do you know it? Has His love come in here and changed you? It will wash sin away. Thank God for the power of God's preeminent love. Amen. I want you to stand.